This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Warning, the following program
is the officially sanctioned podcast
where three friends
talk about the show
about four friends
who compete to embarrass each other.
The
Official Impractical Joker Podcast.
All right. Okay. Calm down. Relax. It's us again.
It's party time.
We're back. It is party time. You're right.
Are you partying, Shay?
I'm partying.
Yeah, Shay is moving like the wacky inflatable tube man you'll see outside a car dealership right now. Both arms up, just kind of waving back and forth while she's in her apartment on Zoom, like we all are while we do this.
Well, Shay, describe like an Impractical Joker rap party.
Oh my gosh.
If we finish the season, we have a rap party.
We try to switch it up. Once we had, it was like a karaoke rap party, which was But a rap party, what happens at the rap party kind of stays at the rap party. It's like
very
Vegas.
Good point. That was a test. No, okay.
It's like Vegas.
Yeah.
Do you remember the one after we filmed MERS, the Australian, like whatever, the Thunder Down Under?
Yes.
Yes.
Did we come back there for the rap party? It was a Christmas party in the basement.
It was a Christmas party. We had the Christmas party in the basement.
After that. So MERS was still probably like had all those histamines in him.
That's why you see Joe Imburgio sitting watching The Punishment because he got there early to go to the Christmas party. If you watch that Punishment, you see Joe Imburgio, comedy producer, famous white eyebrow. If you're trying to spot him,
that'll come up soon in the show.
Yeah. It does. Yeah, it does come up later this season. But yeah, that was a really fun rap party or a Christmas party, rather.
Yeah, we like to party. We like to party a lot.
Because the guys like to go all out. They like to like get a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the thing that they always try to do. I think Sypha Sounds.
Yeah, Sypha came in and DJed. He sure did.
Yeah.
We had two DJs.
Oh, did we have Jerace too?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
They went back and forth.
It was like a little Joker's Cruise in the basement of, what was that venue?
It was in the city. I know 14th Street. I don't remember the name.
Irving Plaza?
Yes.
Irving Plaza. No, yes. Not Irving Plaza. Gramercy.
Gramercy Plaza, yes.
The Gramercy.
What a Gramercy Theater, Gramercy Plaza.
Anyway.
That was a real humble brag, just like whole lines. Like, yeah, there was a DJ. I think it was Sypha Sounds. DJs in the country. Where was that party? It was like, oh yeah, it was at a very impressive theater in New York City. that was awesome that all worked out for us.
I think we did like a Yankee swap too, which is like when you know, or what was it called? The elephant or something? Where everyone puts gifts in. You get a gift, you don't know who it's for, and you put it in and you pull one out.
Yes. My gift was amazing.
Yeah, we have fun. Okay. We have fun, everybody. I know you're jealous and I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you're curious, yeah, it is a good job. It's a fun place to work.
Yeah.
It is it's an enjoyable place. And the best part is every day we watch our bosses make idiots of themselves. Like, what other job do you have where that's like the base reality? Everyone is showing up to work to watch their bosses basically just embarrass themselves, get into hot water day after day.
Sometimes I enjoy it.
And sometimes, you know, they actually, you know what? These guys are our real life references.
Mm-hmm.
When we go for other jobs, the Jokers are our references, just like they are in this bit, this first bit that we had.
That's right.
We called it OK Zoomer in the room, but I think it was called Refer Madness. Refer. A little pun off Reefer
Madness
in the challenge last night where the guys played references for fake people over Zoom dealing with.
What do you think the response is going to be to this? Because this is clearly it's a COVID challenge because it was born out of the fact that everyone's on it. So it's relatable. But do we think that people are going to be like, you know, question the, you know, because it's, there's no real, the mark is through digital.
Right,
but I feel that it's just as embarrassing and it's like an important like little moment, you know?
I agree with you, Case. It's a good question because the guys at first, like, you know, when we're trying to figure out bits to do that were, you know, safe and like during like the pandemic and everything, they really didn't want to do a lot of things where the marks were just on Zoom,
right?
Or just, you know, virtual.
And I get that.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. But they're like, also like, we at least have to do one to kind of, it's so relatable. Everyone's dealing with it right now.
It's totally ripe. And I think like, I laughed so much at this challenge.
Great.
I was dying laughing instantly. Yeah. And so like, for me, I'm like, and I remember when we were talking about the idea, mm-hmm. I think Sal was very specific. He was like, we have to be right across from him at the table. And I remember actually some of the crew, like not understanding it like right away, which I completely get, because it's like, well, there's no, so that you're just on Zoom. Like how do, and the, you're just across, what if they hear you? And we just ironed out all those issues, and it's great to see like it just unfold. And it was so funny.
You're right. And it's, you know, Case, you're right. It's always dangerous for us when we pitch bits where the guys aren't in BTS, right? Because they're our laugh track for the most part.
Right.
Like they're always laughing at whatever the guy on the floor is doing. So whenever we pitch bits like that, you know, us and the guys, like the network might be like, oh, well, where's like the BTS banter and stuff? So it's always like questionable, I guess, like, can this bit work? And I think it really does. Like it happens. It's a little bit different than like a bit like Laugh Man Standing, where all the guys are on the floor actively competing. But it's similar in the sense that they're all there in the room together and they're really trying not to laugh while the other guy is out there, right? Like, you know, 10 feet away from them on the screen, not even.
And I think it's just as hard to say things like, is she single? Are you single? Like those,
oh, yeah.
Those are like, it's really, especially because the context is like, you're vouching for a person that they're, you know, that they're like, that they're going to interview, or like that somebody's up for a job. So like the stakes are there, especially for them and for you and for what your role is supposed to be.
Oh, 100%. It was so awkward to ask Joe's turn, the way that starts out. Those questions are so hard. Yeah. Is your mom single? Are you single? And he played it. The way Joe plays it is, I think, really well, where he makes it not creepy. He just asks that kind of matter of fact. He's like,
yeah, or like it's about technology. It's almost like, are you single? Like, is dating hard in this new world? You know?
Yeah, the way he says it is almost like it's going to lead to another question. Like, oh, is your mom single? Oh, great. Cause then she could use this. Like, he, I don't know, a really masterful performance there.
But her reaction.
By the veteran, Joe Gatto, here in season 9.
Shay, did it feel different on set?
It felt different, but it was cool because it was no BTS. So for us, you know, we usually have to build BTS and build the playing, what we call the playing field.
Right.
So with this one, we had more hands to just worry about the playing field. Mm. And the fact that they were next to each other and couldn't laugh or couldn't talk or couldn't really make sounds was the hardest part and the funniest of all.
Mm. Yeah.
It was cool though. It was different. Very, very different. Because we're usually in two separate rooms.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the same room with the camera, like literally our control room, everything, we're right there.
Yeah, that is different. And also, I guess I'd call it an Easter egg maybe. This is actually in Prop and Spoon, right?
Yes.
So this is the same place where Murray's NASA punishment was from last week.
Same room.
Location.
Wow.
Same room. Yeah, they just changed it up.
But different day as well.
Different day.
Yep, for sure.
But what's interesting is this was filmed first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like this was actually like, you know, before it. So that's just a little interesting for your mind how we have to sometimes move certain days around for punishments and stuff.
Yeah. And like, again, to call back to like last week, we almost worked with a real astronaut. So at first we had the space and we were like holding to see if we could get the schedules to match up. They never did. So we eventually came back later and did the NASA pun.
Right. I did the prelim, which is like the schedule for this actual pun in the beginning in September.
Yeah.
In like September, August. Yeah.
September 2020.
For the astronaut one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So many funny things in this, like off the bat, like the bat, like there's a bat flying around. I didn't even mean to. I flew right into that.
You did. Pun's always intended.
That was so fun. And then also like kept Frank away from Roger on Helen's day off. Yeah. Like it's so complicated, but it feels somewhat real. We all know Frank and Roger.
Yeah. There's so many good things in here. But yeah, even in case, like you said, to talk about the bat prop for a second, do you remember, like you just got a text when we were working one day, you got a text from Sal that was just like water gun, spray bottle, two symbols, whoopee cushion, long fork with food, like the gag extender fork they sell. Bag of feathers, a trombone. Like that's just a text you can get working one day where it's like,
he goes, don't show the other guys.
Yeah, exactly. So Sal was definitely on it and made sure to use a lot of those props right off the bat.
Boom. And then the next one, we have the prop of a bucket where you're like, where is this going? I've never seen Sal so thrown off. Sal thinks he's going to get hit with water. Joe's going to poop in a bucket. It's just like the whole, like I've really never seen Sal, like, you know, because usually if Sal's like laughing, he might be off his game. But this was just him like so startled. He couldn't even get the conversation. He said the guy's name like 3 times.
Oh, yeah. He was thrown off. I was thrown off. I was like, did he take a dookie in the bucket? And I forgot about it. Like what happened with that bucket when you see him pulling his pants down and he's getting up over there. Yeah, but yeah, Sal's definitely thrown in this one.
Yeah, that's really fun. But the 2 days lunch was a great line.
Yeah, so many good specifics in there.
I like the immediacy of too, like they could just write a text. Like, so if someone says something, you immediately send that text and they have to read it. I mean, I guess it's always kind of like that, but there's something different. There's something like silent. It feels like you're in school. It's like a church laugh or something, and you send a text and they have to read it.
Yeah, definitely. Just a different delivery device. And it feels fresh. And also, like, these are things that happen to you right now. Everyone listening, this happens to you when you're in Zoom meetings and stuff. You'll be in a meeting and your friend will be, your coworker friend will be texting you like during it. Can you believe what's going on? All this other nonsense. I mean, to be honest, Case, I think we need to kind of talk about what happened when the comedy producers had to get on with the IT department at work.
Oh, right.
This was, okay. So we had some kind of, everyone's going digital this year. And we were having some IT issues just finding stuff for like all these other folders that we had to put online. And so the comedy producers had to have a meeting with the IT department at North South. Mm-hmm. And during that meeting, it turned into all of the comedy producers trying to see if they could make each other laugh on the Zoom call.
Oh, it was so funny.
It was a nightmare. Casey kept going, so when James gets fired, how do I find all of the bits?
all the notes that he wrote. So when James, when James gets fired.
And they just answered matter of fact every time. Like, oh, okay, well, when that happens, like they didn't even get it and kept bringing it up.
My favorite was at one point, the IT person was sharing their screen and their computer said, you're running low on you should plug in. You're running low on battery. Yeah. And Zaluga goes, oh guys, I think my computer's running low on battery. I might lose you. Like as if it's his computer because they're sharing screen. Like we all played it up like we were so inept at computers.
It was great. And then everyone's trying not to laugh. And I think I turned my video off at one point because I lost basically if this was a challenge because Casey was killing me. And then when John did that, I lost it. But then Ambergio was trying to get off camera, but he couldn't do it. So he was moving his head like to be past his laptop, but it was just like it was basically just his nose down was on camera. It looks like he's laughing right into the camera, basically. Yeah. He was doing the worst job. It wasn't even intentional.
I was dying.
So again, I feel like this bit's very relatable to everybody. Because we're all zooming, everyone's getting a little zoomed out. And then you're just making side jokes to your buddies over text and stuff, you know, while meetings are going on.
Speaking of real life, Shay, have you ever seen Murr take his shoes off and put his feet up on the desk?
Yes.
Oh, so life, what is it? Life is art.
Life imitates art, imitates life.
But yeah, Murr imitates, the guys make Murr imitate himself because that's what he does. He, in the office, like when we're pitching ideas or just talking, he'll just like put his feet on a table. Sometimes Sal's like finishing a sandwich and he's like, shoots him a death stare. Why does he do it, Shay?
I think he likes his toes. He likes to pick his toes and stuff too.
Yuck.
Oh God, that just made it worse, Shay. Like, I thought you were going to defend him.
No.
Me defend Murr.
You're right.
It's just honesty is the best policy. That's what he does. Yeah, he does take them off and it is a weird thing to do in an office. I love that the guys make him do it in his little virtual office here.
I've never seen him break down the way he did in this challenge.
No, it was great.
He couldn't stop laughing. And he couldn't, you know, that's the other thing about this is like, okay, so like in the real world, you might be able to like walk away or turn around or hide your laugh.
Yeah.
You're expected to have your face in front of a camera the entire time and not to look away. And so that's what he had to do. And so he really like lost his shit. He breaks down the mustache line, like that whole thing. It's just, I've never seen him like just lose his faculties.
It was great. You see him just try to dive off camera to get off the scene. And then Q just comes in basically forcing him back into the scene. Asks if he can, like, hey dad, can I borrow the car? Gives him a little kiss.
Another good mark. The mark was like, what is going on?
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. I mean, the marks in here were fantastic.
The first one was my favorite though. The woman with Joe during Joe's turn.
Yeah.
She just gave you exactly what you wanted. Like she was just like, I gotta go.
She did have to go. Like again, this all gets edited down for TV. Joe did have the shortest turn because she called it. She was like, yeah, we're done here.
There were so many funny things. I mean, what else are you going to do?
It was like half the time of the rest of the guys' turns because she was like, nah, we're good. But it was great. And then I love Q does a thing here that made me laugh so much of like when Sal bangs the cymbals, he really reacts it to it in like a cartoony kind of like reaction way. But I don't know. It's an improv. You call that like a yes and right there. He just like, he gives a reaction that Sal's looking for. It's fun.
His whole bit was like cartoony, like in a good way. Like he just delivered everything. He was like, there's no way I'm getting out of this.
Yeah.
And so he said everything. Bastille Day party. I need a gong.
Yep.
And then that final line wasn't even, I don't even think it was even fed. It was Q being Q.
Oh, yeah.
Keep your crank up. I'm out.
I'm out. And he rolls out.
Keep your crank up. I'm out. That was so, that's like, I feel like Tony Gunk did that turn.
Oh yes. TG. Yeah. Incredible, man. Like I'm happy the guys did it. Cause I know they were resistant at first to doing a lot of Zoom bits, but then they were like, you know, we got to do one. So I'm happy we did this one. Maybe we'll do it in the back half.
I think Sal, or like in general, the thing that was inspired by it was like, and this was even before COVID. Remember when that guy was on like a news broadcast and his kids come into the thing and his wife has to like hide and try to get it, but it's all on camera.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to continue with like his report and the kids are just like being monsters.
Yeah.
That to me is like what he imagined it should be like. And I think like the bats and stuff, that's where Sal got that idea.
You're right. I mean, we actually wanted to have kids like on set for this and we couldn't do it.
Oh yeah.
Again, we're filming this September of 2020. So it was like, we didn't want to have any kids on set. We didn't want to like open ourselves up to that risk of anyone. Like we don't want anyone to get sick, obviously, of course, like when we're filming, but like we really didn't want to have any kids on set and get sick. So we didn't have any of them. I think that's also why Q goes in as the kid being like, but it's a funnier joke in that way of like, he's called Murray's like dad or stepdad or whatever in that bit when he goes to go borrow the car.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, that's a fun, I guess, like viral video or like work fail, Zoom fail for that guy when his family comes running in.
Yeah, so fun. I'm glad that we did that. I don't know if we'll do it again, but we did it and that's fun.
Definitely hope we don't have to do it again. You know, but yeah, love that bit.
That's true. That's a good point. So moving on, this next one, we actually did it like a long time ago, sort of. It was a life story, we called it. And it was like, it was one we did in like season two or so.
Yeah.
And this is a fun one. It's
life story. It's, we were calling it memoir in the room. And this is one where like, okay, so it's a JVJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
First off, we'll talk about that. You can expect to see the other half of this later on in the year. Expect to see a little Murr versus Q, because this was a bit when we filmed it. Can we say it was too funny? There was too much there. There was just like, there was a lot. Like every like slideshow, I think had like 18, 20 slides in it. And the guys loved it. They were just like, everything is like hitting, you know, not to get high on our own supply over here, but they were just like, I don't know how we cut this down. If we have to cut it down to fit all four turns, we're doing ourselves a disservice here. Let's make sure that we get all of the jokes from this bit and spread it out over the course of two JVJs. And so that's kind of what happened here. And that's why you get this, we go into every season knowing we're going to film some JVJs. Sometimes we do it intentionally. Sometimes it happens like this. And so that's why you get the Joe versus Sal in this bit.
Yeah, and they're both really fun stories. You got Sperm God up against the Wit Pro, and it's like, they're both so insane. It's a really fun device to like force an entire story that you have to justify.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
It's so much fun. And then, you know, the crazy thing about the Sperm God one was a documentary came out after we filmed this bit.
Right.
I mean, obviously it was in the works. We just didn't know about it, but about some doctor that was working at one of these clinics. And instead of injecting, or I don't know, I'm sorry, I'm getting all sorts of science wrong here. Mm-hmm. But instead of, doing the IVF with like the donor sperm, he was using his own. And so it was like, this guy kind of went rogue and like was this, people were not happy. I didn't watch the doc, but he got sued. But once we filmed the Sperm God bit, you know, the guy saw it and they're like, oh man, like we just did this last week.
Was it called Sperm Dad or something? Cause that was another one we wanted to call it. What's it called?
Oh, the documentary.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up.
It was on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it is. Was it on HBO?
Was it Baby God?
I think I saw some of it.
But anyway, it was one that we were like, I don't know. I guess this is another one where art imitates life. Life imitates art.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's called Baby God.
Baby God.
Yep.
So we did Sperm God.
Which is insane. Yeah. The titles were very close to each other.
It's crazy. We didn't know that. So people, they might come after us.
Yeah.
But it's a parody. We got parody law.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we do.
Barely. That whole story is really fun. And I think we even had to cut slides down because we put on a lot of other weird ones in, right?
Yeah, it's called Baby God. It's on HBO. Check it out. It's a terrible story about an evil person. Not like at all like the one that the guys made up for Joe, which is an innocent story that they made up to make him look terrible. So I guess, you know, that works out. But yeah, the hyperzerbidome,
yep.
Fake drug, completely made up by the other guys, went through many clinical trials. I love that. I love that it became his demise at the end.
I also love that, like, he finds that daughter that, like, he's like he is, like, attractive. So that's why he's like, that whole section is really weird.
Yeah.
I make the cut. I'm actually blanking right now.
The daughter did make the cut. You know, there's two funny legal things that we got into. Speaking, so yeah, you're talking about like parody law and all that going into it. We actually used a different picture in real life than we do that airs on TV for his daughter, Bianca.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when we were filming, or we made the presentation with the guys, they were like, all right, go like find, like, let's like find a photo. We found a photo of someone for Bianca. And it turns out the Bianca we found on like Wikipedia comments, like, you know, again, like, you know, this is who comedy producers are. They're the people that try to find shortcuts when they were doing school projects and stuff like that. So they're still using Wikipedia. And we found one of a Brazilian pop star, but we didn't know it was a Brazilian pop star. We just found it. It said it was like a free, like copyright free photo. We used it, threw it in the PowerPoint, and it was going through chain of command. When it got to legal, they're like, this is a Brazilian pop star. You need to change.
How'd they know that? That's amazing.
I have no idea. Well, we have to send them the source of everything, and then they do a deep dive onto it. So it doesn't really change the joke at all. It was just a different picture of a person.
That's, I wonder how often that happens. Cause that's, I wonder how often a Brazilian pop star is flagged because we used a photo.
I know.
Let's go into Leone crime family, because that was exciting. I actually think that's a great story.
Oh, 100%. I mean, this should be a movie. I would watch it. Mob movies always sell. I think we should do it.
The fact that he keeps going, and like, I love that run that he does of like all those different times, like where he's been on TV again, he's in a bad relationship, the feds actually helped me out. And then the BMX viral fail where he crushed nuts.
Oh, I love it. It's such a good PowerPoint. There's so many slides that didn't even make it into this one. But yeah, I loved all of them. There's so many subtle jokes in here too, with Sal saying he ballooned up to 190.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. What does it call him out? He just goes right past it.
That's right. That's really funny. We had a slide that got cut, remember, was like how his family didn't want to WitPro with him anymore because he kept blowing their WitPro.
Yep.
So he had to WitPro by himself. We like had all this stuff, like a whole thing, like a family saga, like his own family didn't want to be with him.
Right.
I also like the first time he's like, he brags at a party about it and then he has to go into a new witness, re-WitPro.
I love it. Like all 18-year-old boys, I idolize my store manager. It's like really dumb things like that. But yeah, WitPro definitely wins the day for me in terms of just like ridiculous terms, not a real phrase, completely made up by the guys. And I just love, like, yeah, the feds did him a favor on that one. The feds airlifted me out of there when he's in the bad relationship. So that was just like a nice WitPro that they did for him.
Beautiful.
It was great. Did you have a mark of the episode?
The mark in this one, and also in Sperm God, because in Sperm God, she just had like her jaw was dropped the entire time.
Right.
During Joe's turn. I'm going to go with the very first woman in Joe's Zoom.
I agree.
Yeah. Hmm. I like the people in the life story one too, but there's something that it, like, she was the perfect fodder, like, for him to be like so goofy, because she was like kind of like very perfectly like confused,
right,
and like slightly irritated but not like angry.
Yeah, they were all very interested in the stories. That's the other thing, like, we're like, oh, maybe these are too interesting. Like, it was like,
yeah,
what, an 8 and a 10 basically. It's funny, like, you try to throw them under the bus with those stories, but they were very interesting stories.
I know, it's sort of that you're reading it and you all know what's coming next, and you're making them laugh, like even when Joe has to be like, her mom was busted.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's what ended it.
She was good.
Yeah, so much fun.
I think she had the best reactions out of everybody. The other two were just like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, she actually reacted to everything that was going on.
If I'm talking about it, like, honestly, the mark of the day on that one is going to be in the second half of this bit when Q and Mergo.
Teaser.
Yeah, that guy's going to be a strong contender for mark of the episode. Ooh. When he airs.
Okay.
The Italian guy.
That's something to look forward to.
Okay, good sneak peek.
Yeah, he does a good job. The Italian dude, I think Luca. Yeah, be on the lookout for Luca winning mark of the episode in a couple of months.
All right, let's jump into this punishment. Shay, was this a punishment you were not on set for?
I was not on set for this one because we were building the set for After Party.
Oh, but also it seems like nobody was. It was just Joe and
just them.
Hit roll, right?
That was it.
So yeah, this month, this is a weird one. This is the first time I think Joe's ever done like overnight, like multiple nights, like a long punishment. These are usually, so Q usually has to do these with the drive punishment and then the mime, and he was at the zoo. So this is like kind of a long one that Joe has to navigate.
Yeah.
Like multiple days. He's exhausted. Also, it was a lot of work for us, James.
Yeah, it was. It was more work than we thought. When we were pitching this with the guys,
we had to find all those stories. We wrote up those stories for Joe to read.
Yeah. We had to find them every morning. It was real Australian news. It was like you saw it, the February 9th through the whatever. I was also watching a lot of Australian Open at that time. I felt very, very keyed into what was going on down under during that week.
Wait, so you guys were up at the same times that he was waking up?
No. In the morning, we would find the stories and we would write them and send it. Although, James, you did stay up for the first one.
I stayed up for the first one. A few of the other comedy producers did too. It was really fun. We were in the chat kind of watching everybody in the... for the Good Day Mates punishment, there was a live website that the guys made and they tweeted it out so fans could watch this punishment live so that they know it's real. They wanted people to know that this was actually happening. And so they tweeted it out and we went to the link just like everybody else. And we watched the YouTube link and joined the chat and everyone being like, okay, what's going to happen? Because actually the first night, Joe didn't wake up right on time. He slept through his alarm at first. And we're like, what the heck is going on? I was texting Pete. Pete's like, I don't know, we can't get a hold of him. We're like, oh, this is going to be so bad if he sleeps through it. But eventually he got up and he made, I think it was like probably five. Gatto's also like never late.
And he never sleeps. That's surprising.
Yeah, it was like, we were really surprised by everything. Like we were just like, I can't believe like he's missing it or whatever. But yeah, he made it and he went through and he was legit exhausted. It was really fun. Like the comedy producers were all dying. Like we could really see how tired he was. And then also we had to work with him the next morning on other bits. So like, it wasn't like we had nothing to do that whole week. It was really fun. But yeah, we only did one night. After that, I was sleeping through for sure.
He looks exactly how he looks when he wakes up. That's exactly how he looks, how he is in everything when he wakes up.
Yeah. It's funny that he, you know, cause he always kind of puts on a pot, like, you know, an exciting face.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he, it's the real morning Joe.
100%.
Yeah.
Like it's the real tired Joe. It's just like, usually like, he doesn't show that to the audience in a, you know, who would want to show like their most exhausted self, which is, I think is why it's a fun pun.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And this was at gooddaymates.net. If you want to check it out, the website has actually still since expired, but that's the website that we used. And it was great. Like what made the cut was a lot of like the funnier stuff that Joe did during it. Like the kind of like nom, nom, nom when he's eating, but it was killing me when we were watching it live. Just the very, it was almost like a Marina Abramovich bit where you're just like watching somebody eat a meat pie, which is actually an Amy's veggie pot pie. Cause Joe's vegetarian. That's again, a little behind the scenes for you, but it was just like him straight up eating a pot pie, playing the didgeridoo, which we gave him some lessons for, the day before. Cause we were like, yeah, at least need to know how to play it. That's an instrument that you might not be able to get any sound out of if you don't know anything about it. So he actually had to do like didgeridoo lessons a little bit before the punishment. It's a super interesting one for sure. I'm very curious to see what the reaction is to it. Cause Joe, usually a Gatto punishment, it's like watching him bounce into things as the genie or try to jump through tables and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, definitely a little bit of a different take.
Yeah. This might be my favorite Joe pun.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is cause it's hard to get Gatto.
I know.
It's hard to get him. This is him. There's nothing you can do about it, Gatto. Like this might be my favorite Gatto pun.
Such a good point.
So Joe Ambergio and myself, we like to make songs for the show. Yeah. And I think we've played this in the past, but we're going to remind you again of it. So for this punishment, instead of his usual wake up call, we made a song. We're going to just let you guys hear that again, because now that you know the context, this is what you'd be listening to. This is what Joe could have been listening to if his own alarm was less annoying. But that real one is the worst sound in the world.
Terrible.
But great to wake up. But yeah, here it is.
Take a listen.
Get up to the land of Australia. Australia. Talking weather. and Chuck, let me tell ya.
Get up, Joe.
Outback Steakhouse. Nicole Kidman.
Oh, you know,
Kangaroo. Koala. Hugh Jackman.
Yep, there it is.
I love this song. It's one of my favorites. I really wish it was in The Punishment. It's so good. A great parody of Men at Work's Land Down Under. That's the name of the band of the song. Yeah, I love it. To me, this is one of my favorite. I wish it was in because I think it'd be up there with like Whose Phone Is Ringing, with the Grandpa Whoopsie theme, all the good songs that we have throughout Impractical Jokers. I love it. The MERS cremation jingle is another good one. So fun.
Case, do we have like a soundtrack or to go with like the seasons and stuff?
No, not exactly. I put a bunch of songs up on Bandcamp. If you go to, let me see if I can find the website real quick. Yeah. If you go to, it's actually under Less Vinyl, LESVINYL, lessvinyl.bandcamp.com/album/terribly-catchy. I think I have a link to like my Bandcamp, and the album is called if you just search Terribly Catchy. So it's all the songs that I've done on the show. And I know Joe Ambergio also has like Drive, Drive, Drive and Grandpa Whoopsie and maybe another one on his Bandcamp. But yeah, I actually just updated it too. And I put a bunch of stuff on it, like the Pet Cremation jingles there and all the songs from the music challenge where they're like, you know, Death, Destruction, Diarrhea, Whose Phone Is Ringing is on there. I'm a Sensitive Guy. Q's Meditation Song, Toilet Soldiers I even have on there.
Love Toilet Soldiers.
So yeah, you can check that out. And there's also some other fun things. Like I did, so Sal has two podcasts, one Taste Buds and one Hey Babe. And I did those theme songs. So I threw that on there too.
Oh,
nice.
Anytime I do a new song, I'll throw it on there.
I love that. That's great. And speaking of music, Case, I actually found out the name of the Brazilian pop star that we couldn't use her picture in the earlier bit. It was Kelly Key. So Kelly Key was the Brazilian pop star whose image we could not license or didn't want to get into any murky legal trouble with. So we had to swap it out. Like, and Shay, you were talking about it too. This Punishment really gets Gatto. And I know that's why the guys were so excited about it when they came up with it. They're like, this is not one he can wiggle out of. There is nothing you can do. This is more, I'll say this, I'm happy it's your favorite one. I'd say this is one that's almost more punishing in real life than it is like on TV. And that's what I think, you know, we always try to make a mix of it, but like, I think sometimes the guys are like, Joe gets off light. They're like, he always gets to be like, he doesn't, like, cause you can't get him, right? You just can never get him.
It's hard.
Yeah. And so, cause he makes the best of it. And they're like, this is one thing you can't make the best of. It sucks to get up at 2:30 in the morning and do this nonsense. And like he said, he couldn't go back to sleep after he ate all this stuff. So yeah. And knowing from working with him the next couple of days, yeah, it was punishing. Let's just put it at that.
And poor Bessie, man.
Yeah.
And she had to wake up to that every morning too.
Oh yeah. That's tough. And all the 15, 16, 17 dogs he's got. Yeah. It's pretty wild. And I love that line from Murr when Joe's playing the didgeridoo. He's like, Joe, would people ask you how you pay your mortgage? Show them this video. Like, it's just so good. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's a good line. This was definitely like a fun one, a weird one. Yeah, I also like when he blew on the meat pie with the didgeridoo.
Oh no, yeah, I love that. That's that. I didn't say it, but that is the thing he did right after. Murray said, when people ask you how you pay your mortgage, show them this. Yeah.
That is so funny. That just the fact that even when he's exhausted, Joe can find a moment to be funny, or when he goes yum yum.
Right. I love it.
Here's a funny question. That's a kind of a joke I saw, which was, you know how our show always starts with warning, you know, the following program contains scenes of graphic stupidity.
Right.
I think someone said, like, do you think anyone's ever like turned off the TV because of the warning? It's so funny to like, it's a fake warning, but like we've done it for every season. It's funny to be like, has anyone ever been like, oh, you know what? Like, oh, I better not. I'm not ready for scenes of graphic stupidity before Lifelong Friends.
Right.
It's a good question. Has anyone ever done that? That I don't know.
It's funny.
Okay. Here's a fun question. This is sort of like a comment, which is my anxiety level always goes up a notch when I see blurred faces. And they wrote, is it just me? It seems like they get so mad and they want nothing to do with the release form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like an interesting point because I kind of like once in a while, like seeing a blur because it adds to the authenticity of the show. And I think it gets me excited too, because I'm like, oh wow, this could be like crazy. So it's an interesting little thing that's a little different from episode to episode. So I personally like the anxiety that comes along with that. I mean, if you feel it, then yeah, you definitely are like, But I kind of chase that. That's one of the things I like about the show.
Yeah.
I found a question. Hey, Shay, I have a question for the podcast. Y'all say you taped one bit before the pandemic and one during the pandemic in one episode. So how do y'all put together the punishments? Are the number of times each Joker is punished predetermined and y'all just make it work? Basically, how do you know which Joker is going to be punished that episode? Love the show.
So I think we've talked about this a little bit, but I think that specific question is about to answer it basically is I think we've said this before. In the beginning of a season, we know that the guys are going to get punished at some point.
Right.
So sometimes we'll just try to bank and get a bunch of punishments because we have good ideas for them. And maybe we don't know exactly what else we're going to film, but we know eventually they're going to get punished. And it's not often that a challenge turns into a punishment. It's happened a couple times.
Right.
That's not usually how we do it. So it doesn't 100% matter. And then we always use an authentic loss. Like if Murr right. or if Sal or whoever doesn't say something, that's a thumbs down. And we know we put that's in the bit, and we know that Sal lost that challenge. And then the next challenge we did was this. Okay. Oh, and Sal lost that again. Sal's a loser. We already had the punishment. Boom. That's how we put together an episode. So that might be one way to do it. But yeah, I think, because we have a production schedule and we need to film as much stuff as we can in a good amount of time. So if we have a great idea for a punishment and we know that this day works on the schedule, we have to work with a location. We have to work with especially nowadays in the quarantine version of the show, we're hiring people to go to these things on a certain day. We need to know exactly what we're doing. So yeah, sometimes a punishment might take precedent, especially early on.
Yeah.
We never have a predetermined idea of who's going to lose and when or how many, but we know that from the history of the show, we know that they're all going to lose at some point. So let's start getting some punishments. And it just, the math always kind of works out.
Exactly. Yeah. It always seems, I think people always think of it. It's okay, they agreed that they were going to do Reefer Madness and then a memoir. And then whoever loses that gets to be punished. And that's not really the case. It's a little bit more fluid than that, where it's we take the real losses and we combine them to work into who gets punished for that day. So it's if you lose more, you do get punished more, is the reality of things. Mm-hmm. And so we really have to make good on that at the end of the season. But for the most part, for the first 15, 18 episodes-ish, we're not really concerned about it because we know everything's going to kind of fall into place a little bit.
Sweet. Good question. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's another question. Mm-hmm. What would happen if none of the guys lose an episode? We've talked about this a lot.
You guys have talked about it a lot. It's an interesting thought.
Do they all technically win, or do they all technically still lose?
It's a good question. And I don't think we know how to answer that yet. I know the networks had ideas. I know the guys have had ideas. And if that ever happens, yeah, we'll see what they end up doing. But yeah, I don't know.
It hasn't happened yet. And I think the guys deep down are prepared for it. I think that they have a few ideas in mind, which we obviously would never spoil, even if we did know exactly what they're going to do. I know a few things that they've mentioned, Gatto has pulled me to the side. I'm sure you too, James, and been we could do this. But I also like the idea of it coming from an external source, a Pete McParland or us, or a Simi, something like that, where they know that no one lost. And so they plan something so that, that could happen too. So those are some of the ideas. That's a great question though.
It's a really good one. It'd be something. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one. You have to have something. I wouldn't want to just see another challenge. I need to see something in that punishment spot,
Yeah. It's gotta be something. They can't just be having fun.
I don't want to guess too much on the podcast because I feel like I should be pitching that to the guys in the room, but yeah, there's definitely, it's an interesting thought for sure. And I could see it happening someday, especially now they seem so, they've been doing this for 9 years. They're just so good at everything on the show. They can kind of get out of everything. They're less afraid to do things in public. So I could definitely see a time where they all win, I guess, or no loses, no thumbs down.
It's an exciting idea. We'll see what happens.
For sure.
Maybe it's something where maybe they punish the staff. Maybe they punish the crew.
I mean, that happens every day.
That's true. Well, on that note, folks, thank you so much for listening. It's always nice to sit here and talk at you and tell you about the show that we work on.
Yeah.
I'm glad that, you listened. If you have anything to say, please reach out to us at Casey Jost, at Mick James McCarthy, at Shay Star Child, and hashtag Jokers Podcast. And if you have any questions, we'd love to answer them.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you all soon. Talk at you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye. The official and practical Joker Podcast.